Hang on, Dean said. Why is that significant? Vampires are just like people until the first time they feed, I said. Connie didn't know that bad things would happen when she did. What kind of bad things? The first time they feed, they don't really know it's coming. They have no control over it, no restraint, and whoever they feed on dies as a result. So she was the threat that Bigfoot dreamed about. I'm getting to it. Erwin's expression had darkened again into a glower almost exactly like River Shoulders's, and he stood up. Connie was frowning at me as she was abruptly displaced. Don't know of what... Pounder! We're done, Erwin said to me. His voice wasn't exactly threatening, but it was absolutely certain, and his leashed anger all but made the air crackle. Nice to see you again, Harry. Tell my dad to call or write, or do anything but try to tell me how to live my life. Connie blinked at him. Wait, what's wrong? Erwin left a few 20s on the table and said, We're going.
What? What happened?
We're going, Erwin said. This time he did sound a little angry. Connie's bewilderment suddenly shifted into some flavor of outrage. She narrowed her lovely eyes and snapped, I am not your pet, Pounder. I'm not trying to... Erwin took a slow, deep breath and said more calmly, I'm upset. I need some space. I'll explain when I calm down, but we need to go. She folded her arms and said, Go calm down then, but I'm not going to be rude to our guest. Erwin looked at me and said, We going to have a problem? Wow. The kid had learned a lot about the world since the last time I'd seen him. He recognized that I wasn't a playful puppy dog. He realized that if I'd been sent to protect him and I thought Connie was a threat, that I might do something about it. And he just told me that if I did, he was going to object. Strenuously. No protests, no threats, just letting me know that he knew the score and was willing to do something about it if I made him. The guys who are seriously capable handle themselves like that. No problem, I said, and made it a promise. If I think something needs to be done, we'll talk first. The set of his shoulders eased, and he nodded at me. Then he turned and stalked out. People watched him go warily. Connie shook her head slowly and asked,
What did you say?
I said, I think he feels like his dad is intruding on his life.
You don't say, she shook her head.
That's not your fault. He's usually so collected. Why is he acting like such a jerk?
Issues, I said, shrugging.
Everyone has a parental issue or two.
Still, it's beneath him to behave that way, she shook her head. Sometimes it makes me want to slap him. But I need to get a chair to stand on.
I don't take it personally, I assured her. Don't worry.
It was about me, she said quietly. Wasn't it? It's about something I don't know. I said. It was just possible that maybe I'd made a bad call when I decided to meddle between River and his kid. It wasn't my place to shake the pillars of Erwin's life. Or Connie's, for that matter. It was going to be hard enough on her to find out about her supernatural heritage. She didn't need to have the news broken to her by a stranger on top of that. You'd think that after years as a professional, I'd know enough to just take River's money, help out his kid, and call it a night.
Maybe we should walk, I suggested.
Sure.
We left and started walking the streets of downtown Norman. The place was alive and growing like a lot of college towns. Plenty of old buildings, some railroad tracks, lots of cracks in the asphalt and the sidewalks. The shops and restaurants had that improvised look that a business district gets when it outlives its original intended purpose and subsequent generations of enterprise take over the space. We walked in silence for several moments until Connie finally said,
He's not an angry person. He's usually so calm, but when something finally gets to him,
it's hard for him, I said. He's huge, and he's very strong, and he knows it. If he loses control of himself, someone could get hurt. He doesn't like the thought of that. So when he starts feeling angry, it makes him tense, afraid. He's more upset about the fact that he feels so angry than about anything I said or did.
Connie looked up at me pensively for a long moment, then she said, "Most people wouldn't realize that." I shrugged. "What don't I know?" she asked. I shook my head. "I'm not sure it's my place to tell you." "But it's about me."
"Yeah." She smiled faintly.
"Then shouldn't I be the one who gets to decide?"
I thought about that one for a moment.
"Connie, you're mostly right. But some things once said can't be unsaid. Let me think about it."
She didn't answer. The silence made me uncomfortable. I tried to chat my way clear of it. "How'd you meet Irwin?" The question, or maybe the subject matter, seemed to relax her a little.
"In a closet, at a party. Someone spiked a punch. Neither of us had ever been drunk before," and her cheeks turned a little pink. "And he's just so damn sexy."
"A lot of people wouldn't think so," I noted. She waved a hand.
"He's not pretty, I know that. It's not about that. There's this energy in him. It's chemical, assurance, power. Not just muscles, it's who he is."
Her cheeks turned a little pink.
"It wasn't exactly love at first sight, I guess. But once the hangover cleared up, that happened too."
"So you love him?" I asked. Her smile widened and her eyes shone the way a young woman's eyes ought to shine. She spoke with calm, simple certainty.
"He's the one."
About 20 things to say leapt to my mind. I was going to say something about how she was too young to make that kind of decision. I thought about how she hadn't been out on her own for very long, and how she had no idea where her relationship with Irwin was going to lead. I was going to tell her that only time could tell her if she and Irwin were good for one another and ready to be together to make that kind of decision. I could have said something about how she needed to stop and think, not make blanket statements about her emotions and the future. That was when I realized that everything I would have said was something I would have said to a young woman in love, not to a vampire. Not only that, but I heard something in her voice or saw something in her face that told me that my aged wisdom was, at least in this case, dead wrong. My instincts were telling me something that my rational brain had missed. The kids had something real. I mean, maybe it hadn't gotten off on the most pure and virtuous foot, but that wasn't anything lethal in a relationship. The way they related to one another now, there was a connection there. You could imagine saying their names as a unit, and it fit. Connie and Irwin. Maybe they had some growing to do, but what they had was real. Not that it mattered. Being in love didn't change the facts. First, that Connie was a vampire. Second, that vampires had to feed. Third, they fed upon their lovers.